Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, last time in our great study of messianic prophecy, we discovered that there would be specific names and titles given to the Messiah upon his birth. And some of these prophecies about Messiah and what he would be called are given before his birth, some centuries before. And the name we looked at last time we were studying this grand subject was that the Messiah would be called by his personal name, Yeshua, Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation, or it can alternately mean salvation is of the Lord. Remember what the angel told Joseph, you shall call his name Yeshua, or Jesus, for, or because, he will save his people from their sins. So the Messiah would be the Savior of the sinner. He would save those from the doom of damnation and the wrath of God for their sins. So Jesus the Messiah, or Yeshua, would be salvation personified. He would not bring salvation per se. He was greater. He is salvation. And the salvation that he brought was simply a manifestation or an emanation of who he is. He is salvation. Old Testament scholar Arthur E. Glass, points out that the name Yeshua, or Jesus, is actually hidden in the Old Testament. This covert placement of the name of Jesus, he says, is found some 100 times from Genesis to Habakkuk. Glass states, quote, every time the Old Testament uses the word salvation, especially with the Hebrew suffix meaning my, your, or his, with very few exceptions, when the word is used in an impersonal sense, it is identically the same word as Yeshua, Jesus. This is actually what the angel said to Joseph, you shall call his name Yeshua, salvation, unquote. Glass then goes on to show how this covert presence of the name of Jesus works out in some of the Old Testament passages. What David actually said in Psalm 9:14 when he stated, I will rejoice in your salvation. Actually, in the Hebrew, that word salvation is Yeshua. So David would be saying there in Psalm 9:14, I will rejoice in your Yeshua. That Jesus was the embodiment, the personification, and salvation incarnate is borne out by several other passages from the Old Testament. One such instance, I'll give you two, is in Isaiah. Isaiah 62, which is a favorite verse of this ministry because in that chapter God is calling forth the people from the ends of the earth, the Goyim, the Gentiles, to come to Jerusalem and tell the Jewish inhabitants that their Savior or their salvation is coming. And that word, again in Hebrew, is Yeshua. Yeshua. Isaiah 62:11. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the ends of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Some translations, I believe the NIV has, surely your Savior is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Notice that salvation is linked up with a person, expressed here by the third person masculine singular, his and him. Well, in the Hebrew text, this word here, salvation, when Isaiah says, surely your salvation is coming, is Yeshua. So God is telling the people who come from the ends of the earth to Jerusalem to tell the Jewish people that surely Yeshua, salvation, is coming. Another instance in Isaiah where the name of Yeshua is associated with salvation is in Isaiah 12, verses 12 and 3. We'll go there quickly. And again, the Hebrew word for salvation in this instance is also Yeshua, Isaiah 12, 2 and 3. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Well, that word salvation in the Hebrew text is, guess what? Yeshua. So it could read, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of Yeshua. Now, my friend, jump to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and also, after we look at this, John chapter 7. But first, in John 4, Jesus associates himself with the waters of salvation. The idea here is that man is spiritually dying of thirst. Sin has produced spiritual death in him, and he needs the life-giving waters of salvation from the Savior Yeshua himself. And so with that in mind, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman, John 4:13, he says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, pointing to physical water that can only sustain the body. Then he goes on to tell her in verse 14 of John 4, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So, do you not see here that Isaiah was pointing to Yeshua as the source of salvation, like wells of living and fresh water? The Holy Spirit was already preparing the hearts and minds of the people of Israel that this salvation is in a person called Yeshua. Again, in John 7, 37 and 39, Yeshua, or Jesus, says this of himself. And this was during the Feast of Tabernacles, I believe. The Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus says this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So Yeshua is the source of salvation. No other name has so captivated the hearts and minds of so many than the name of Jesus, or Yeshua, which means the Lord is salvation. And so when you look at the person of Jesus, you not only see God's provision of salvation for fallen man, but you see the Lord, the Savior himself, the author of salvation. Moving on, another primary name or title for the coming Messiah is Mashiach, or Christ. In the Greek, that word Christ is Christos, and it bears the same equivalent meaning for Messiah. Messiah comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach, and it simply means anointed. Anointed. The primary meaning of the term Messiah as anointed speaks again of the role in which the Messiah would play. Let's briefly talk about the term Messiah, or in Hebrew it's Mashiach. The Hebrew word Mashiach appears 39 times in the Old Testament, and in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the word Christos is used, which became the common name for Jesus in the New Testament. Hence, the title Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, which simply means Jesus the Messiah or Jesus the Holy One. Mashiach, in its Hebrew form, is a verbal noun derived from this idea of anointing. Mashiach, which is similar in meaning to what the participle Mashuach means, which literally translated from the Hebrew signifies anointed. Anointed. Now, some scholars believe that the term Mashiach or Messiah was used in a more general sense as a formal title for kings, priests, and prophets, and never in the later technical sense as it came to be used for the Savior. This seems to be wrong. In at least 9 of its 39 occurrences, the word Mashiach is used in the Old Testament. These 9 passages in the Old Testament where Mashiach is used point to an anointed one who would be coming in the future. Usually, of course, it would refer to the one coming from the lineage of David, who would be Yahweh's king. 1 Samuel 2:10. Psalm 2:2, Psalm 26, Daniel 9, 25, and 26 are some sample passages. The way that the title Mashiach or Messiah gained its technical status for the coming of Messiah gained relevance with the anointing of King David and the covenant God promised David. David, who is a Mashiach, an anointed one, that from his line would come one who God would anoint. Remember, David was God's anointed. Though King Saul, who preceded David and then was removed by God for his apostasy, though Saul, the first king of Israel, had been called the anointed of the Lord, Mashiach, 1 Samuel 24:6 and 7, David was God's permanently anointed. 1 Samuel 16:13 says that from the day on the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. David was called the Lord's anointed 10 times in the Old Testament. So this idea of anointed, which the word Messiah means, was also used in the Old Testament for prophets, priests, and kings. All three sacred offices came to be known and subsumed under one person, Messiah of the New Testament, who embraced all three offices of prophet, priest, and king. And in functioning in those three divine roles, he was to be anointed by God. In this sense, the Messiah, as we are told in Psalm 45, 7 or 8, the Messiah would be set above his companions, that is, above the other anointed ones of ancient times. So the primary term, the primary meaning for the term Messiah is one who is anointed to function as prophet, priest, and king. Melchizedek. The scripture gives us several types or forerunners of this threefold office of Messiah. Melchizedek is the first that comes to mind. He was both a priest and king. Moses was a priest and prophet, and David was a king and prophet. So this is what the term Messiah signifies. God's anointed one who would function as the greatest king, priest, and prophet. And that's exactly what Yeshua, Jesus, did when he came. He was the Messiah. And in that role of being Messiah, he was God's anointed to function as prophet, priest, and king. In Jesus, the Christ, all three offices find their ultimate fulfillment and completion. So, the word Christ was to be the official title of the anointed Savior. The most common term for Jesus the Messiah in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus began his ministry as the Messiah, the anointed one sent by the Lord, guess what phrase he uses that is associated with the coming of the Messiah. Messiah meaning anointed one. Well, in Luke 4, when Jesus announced that his ministry of deliverance and salvation and bringing the good news of redemption was inaugurated, he said this, Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me," note there, anointing, "because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So here Jesus is affirming that he was anointed by God to perform and bring salvation as the Messiah. And so, Jesus not only affirmed that he was the Messiah, and I remember what he said to the woman in Samaria. She said that we had been looking for the Messiah. John 4:25. The woman of Samaria said to Jesus, "I know that Mashiach, or the Anointed One, is coming, who is called Christ," or Christos, the Greek word for the Hebrew Messiah. "When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So this whole idea that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah is flatly contradicted by his direct affirmation that he was the Messiah to this woman in Samaria. So Jesus not only claimed he was the Messiah, but he also received worship and confession that he was Messiah. I think of Matthew 16, when Jesus poses this question to the disciples of, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter boldly states to him, "I say you are the Christ," or the Messiah, "the Son of the living God." Jesus did not remonstrate him and say, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm just some great prophet or rabbinic teacher." No. He commended Peter by telling him that this did not come through human deduction or deliberation, but it came by way of supernatural revelation given to Peter by God the Father from heaven. So Jesus indeed claimed to be the Messiah. And, as I remember too, he died for that claim, because remember, the high priest put Jesus under oath during his trial before select members of the Sanhedrin. And he asked Jesus, he said, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus answered without hesitation, saying, "I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power of God coming in the clouds of heaven." And that answer sealed his fate and condemned him to die on the cross, because the high priest and his band of conspirators condemned him for blasphemy. They refused to believe Jesus' claim that he was the Messiah. And so Jesus accepted that he was the Messiah when confessed by others to be so, and secondly, he affirmed that he was the Anointed One, the Messiah, sent by his Father to bring salvation to the world. Another main title for the Messiah would be Lord. Lord, in Hebrew, that is Adonai, or Jehovah, can also serve to mean divine Lord, the owner and controller over all his creation. This title, the title of Lord, denotes authority, dominion, sovereignty, deity, and is equivalent to Jehovah or Yahweh of the Old Testament. This title of Yahweh or Lord occurs some 542 times in the Old Testament. And it is used of Jesus some 174 times in the New Testament. Jesus uses the divine term Lord for himself five times in John's Gospel, and by others of him 43 times. Now, there is a variety of Hebrew and Greek meanings under this name of Lord. One can be a title of respect shown by one who is being courteous or formal. A good example of that today would be when one addresses another as Sir. The word Lord can mean that also in Scripture. So the word Lord can apply not only to God, but men of high honor, dignity, and ranking. The New Testament Greek term for Lord is Kurios, and it is translated Lord, Master, or Owner, and means one who possesses power or authority over property or persons. It can also be used as a term of respect. So, again, context will determine if the word Lord is being used of God alone or of a human person holding high dignity or rank. But let's focus on how the divine title Lord is used for the Messiah. It goes back again to the Old Testament Scripture. Psalm 110:1, remember that? Jesus quoted that when he asked the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, and elders, he asked them, whom do you think Christ is? Just the Son of David? And then he quotes this Scripture from Psalm 110:1. The Lord said unto my Lord, to demonstrate to his audience that the Messiah would be more than just a physical descendant of David, but he would be the divine Lord himself as confessed and acknowledged by David in this psalm. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Hebrew there for the opening of Psalm 110:1 literally reads, Yahweh said to my Adonai. So you have two different words used for God here, indicating two different persons in the Godhead. The Lord, God the Father, said to my Lord, God the Son, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And of course, in the New Testament, that prophecy is quoted several times by Jesus and the apostles to refer to Jesus, the Messiah, as divine Lord. Remember what The angels told the shepherds who were tending their flocks in the fields outside Bethlehem, "For unto you is born this day Messiah the Lord." So here, the human Messiah would also be the divine Lord, according to the angel's message to the shepherds. Jesus in John 13:13 says, "You call me Master and Lord, so I am." So I am. So again, he's affirming that he is God. He is Adonai. He is Jehovah. An amazing thing. Jesus received worship as Lord God. Remember when he healed the blind man born blind, the blind man who was born blind, and he restored his sight. He was brought before the religious authorities, and the blind man said, "This man gave me sight, and he must be of God." Well, they refused to accept his testimony about Jesus, and they kicked him out of the synagogue, and Jesus found him and asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" John 9:35. And listen to what the blind man says. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" So he's addressing Jesus with the proper title of respect, not necessarily denoting confession in his deity. Ah, but that quickly changes. Because then Jesus goes on to tell him, the blind man says, "Who is this Son of God that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then the blind man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. So now he confesses him as Adonai, the divine Lord, and worships him as such. This blind man, whose physical sight was restored, had a greater miracle happen after that. He was given spiritual sight to see who Jesus really is. He is Yahweh. He is the divine Lord, worthy of worship because of his mighty acts that only God Almighty could perform. So the scripture then is very clear in both testaments that the Messiah who would come would be the Lord God himself. Awesome. Quite awesome. And yet, acknowledging Jesus as Lord is quite different from acknowledging him as Savior. Many today in Christendom know Jesus as Savior, yet do not honor and obey him as the Lord of all. I believe it was Hudson Taylor who said, "If he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all." But when we fully recognize Jesus the Savior as Lord, then we acknowledge him as the one who is the sovereign ruler of our life, as well as the God of salvation. Remember what Paul said too about the lordship of Messiah. Romans 10:9-10, that if you shall confess Jesus is Adonai, Lord, and that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Some people want to create a false dichotomy between Jesus being Lord and Savior. But when you accept Jesus as Savior, you also automatically receive him as Lord. Both identify the one and same person. You can't divide the two. "For shall Christ be divided in his person? God forbid." He is both Lord and Messiah, sent to redeem us from our sins and bring us to himself, that we might be his sons and daughters in his forever family. Amen. Well, I see time has escaped me. The announcer at the end of this program will tell you how you can contact us. And we need your support as we carry out this ministry to the church, and to Israel. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.